You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Wednesday the 11th of March. Day 2 of the Cheltenham Festival is in the books by the time you're listening to this. We're recording this podcast shortly after the 4:10 race has taken place. And I'm absolutely delighted to say that I've been joined out of the William Hill Racing Radio Studio by Gary Catemore. Gary, how are you, sir?
Very good, thank you. Enjoying the action that we've seen, some top-class action thus far, and looking forward to tomorrow's action as well. The handicaps look ridiculously competitive, but we've got some good graded action to look forward to as well.
We do. We've had a little bit of everything over the past couple of days. We've had some odds-on favourites turned over. We've had some absolutely astounding finishes. We've had drama of the best of it. It's been a really enjoyable festival,
yep,
hasn't it?
It has. We've seen the odd class act, the odd shock. We're going to touch on that, I'm sure, in a moment, but some decent stories. Obviously, they always throw up decent stories this particular meeting, and looking forward to day 3.
Let's have a quick word then on the graded action today on Wednesday. Envoy Allen got favourite backers off to an absolute blinder in the first race. Easy Work was second, and the Big Getaway was back in third.
Here goes Au Revoir Alendo, beginning to hit his stride on the near side, bearing down on them. There'll be three in a line at the last, but Au Revoir Alendo jumps to the front. He lands a length and a half clear. Easy Work is chasing him off up the run-in, but it's Au Revoir Alendo over three lengths clear and galloping on remorselessly. The banker of the week, a star very much in the ascendancy. Au Revoir Alendo, emphatic, wins the Ballymore.
A justified 4-7 favourites performance from Envoy Allen?
Yeah, he just... The Willie Mullins horse almost half got away from him on the turn for home, and he just had to niggle at Envoy Allen, didn't he? Just to get into top stride. But as soon as he did, I mean, he picked up really well. He led just before the final flight and cleared right away from his stable companion Easy Work with the Big Getaway in third. Bit of a disappointing run from Sporting John in behind. He might have left his race behind at Ascot, but take nothing away from the winner, who's done it very well, remains unbeaten, and will be a fascinating horse for the coming years ahead. Obviously, I'm sure we'll see him at Punchestown. Whether we see him at Aintree or not, I'm not just sure. But I'm sure we'll definitely see him again at least once this season. And I think he's won a point, so it could be interesting to see if they keep him over hurdles or whether they go over fences next season.
Interesting then. The performance of the day, the one that maybe might go viral more than any other performance, is that of the second Grade 1 winner, Champ.
Manella Indo at the last, clambered over it. Alaho is back level with him. Off up the run in they go. They're clear from Champ. Blue cap is Alaho. The maroon jacket is Manella Indo, who is in front now. Champ is running on between them. Look out for Champ. Manella Indo, Alaho together. Champ storming through. Barry Geraghty on Champ has lifted the prize late on. Manella Indo in second, Alaho in third.
It looks set to be a slogfest between Manella Indo and Alaho, who ended up second and third respectively. However, Champ came from out of the clouds to pull off one of the performances of the festival, of the day, of the year so far.
Yeah, he showed grill heart, didn't he? The front two sort of took each other on. We were watching the race live in the William Hill studio, and there was never any doubt in my mind coming to the last, despite having jumped the last badly, that Manella Indo would get the better of Alaho up the hill. But Champ came and picked their pockets in between horses, patiently ridden, didn't jump very well, I didn't think at all, made mistakes at various fences, and just a wonderful ride from Barry Geraghty. The horse, obviously, you know, he tries his heart out, and in the end that's what won in the race, because he must have lost many lengths in the at various stages throughout that contest with his sloppy jumping, but some effort to come back despite that, and despite all the momentum that he lost during the race and all the ground that he forfeited, to come back and win was a fantastic performance.
If that was the performance of a positive nature of the day, Deffy de Soy, who many people felt had a bit of a penalty kick in the Queen Mother Champion Chase. No Altior, pulled out yesterday. No Jacquin Pourceaugt, pulled out today.
Yep.
Went off incredibly short. Doesn't even make the frame in the end. Politolov takes the Champion Chase title at 6-1. Dynamite Dollar second at 7-1. Bon Doran ran a great race in third at 33-1.
Three from the finish. Palina Logue been jumping well in front. Touchdown there with the lead to in second place Dynamite Dollars. Deffy de Sil called upon for a little bit of an effort. Bon Doran still running a big race. Show Royal is behind those. They're heading towards the home turn. Two fences from here to jump. And Palina Logue, they haven't got to him yet. And it's still Palina Logue moves around the home turn with the advantage. And he's gone on by two or three lengths. Bon Doran in second. Dynamite Dollars in third. On the left is Deffy de Sil. Two plain fences to jump. Palina Logue up and over that safely, landing with a three-length advantage. Dynamite Dollars and Bon Doran second and third. Deffy de Sil behind those in fourth. A jumping exhibition from Palina Logue. He's been in front most of the way. Deffy de Sil an error at the final fence. Into the closing stages, Palina Logue and Harry Skelton in front. Tiring a little bit in the closing stages, but he's run and ragged this afternoon. He's jumped superbly. A fifth festival run, a first festival victory. The champion chasers, Palina Logue. Dynamite Dollars in second. Bon Doran is narrowly third. Deffy de Sil in fourth, and then Show Royal.
Is there an explanation? How do you explain a performance like that that seems so surefire?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, Barry Geraghty said he knew he was never travelling at any stage, and he didn't jump with his usual alacrity. And yeah, something clearly amiss. Just disappointing, really. I mean, considering, you know, this time last week we were expecting it to be the race of the festival with Jacquin Pourceaugt and Altior, of course, who both had to miss the race with Aenosis in Jacquin Pourceaugt's case this morning, and Altior unfortunately being lame. But Palina Logue, fair credit to him, his fifth run at the festival. And Harry Skelton, very positive on him, one of his first ever Grade Ones, if not his first Grade One. It might not be his first one, but I can't imagine he's had too many. Again, fair play to the horse. Don't knock it completely. You know, it's a third Queen Mother Champion Chase for the owner, and after a Zerti up and one man, and I think a sixth I was reading for Paul Nichols, who clearly knows what it takes to win this race. Yeah, Barry Geraghty said he landed at a heap, jumping the fence away from the stands. I tried to nurse him, but knew from the back of three out the game was up. So, a bit disappointing. Back to the drawing board with him. But they kept Palina Logue a bit fresher this year. Obviously, he hadn't been seen since finishing fifth in the Tingle Creek behind Deffy de Soy, but came here a fresher horse, and he's had his day in the sun.
He has indeed. And if there was any play spot people still alive, if there are any accumulator punters still alive after that, Tiger Roll gave them another kick in the teeth. We're recording this just after the cross country chase, and Tiger Roll, the fairy tale, has stuttered somewhat. Easyland getting the better of Tiger Roll in the latest. It was a stalking performance from Tiger Roll, but it just never got the chance to take the win on.
No, he gave the winner a fair bit of rope. The winner's an improving six-year-old. He was a regular in these type events. Obviously saw him here winning in December. He was then purchased by JP McManus, but he's got a lot of ones next to his name, that is for sure, and he's only six. It's probably one of the better horses that Tiger Roll's come up against in this discipline in the past. Obviously he was committed a fair way from home. Tiger Roll came there, but he's used to them coming back to him. He had to try and make his ground, and with the ground potentially soft enough for him, because that did look hard work. It's obviously a bit softer on the infield as well. He's run they're well clear of the third. He's managed to get his prep run for the Grand National. Hopefully that race hasn't left too much of a mark, though. He's got a big old weight to carry at Aintree. We'd all obviously love to see him win his third Grand National, but that will not be easy, defying top weight on the back of a fairly hard run here behind a young, improving horse who I think is going to dominate this sphere for a long time.
Easy Land, the winner of the cross country chase. Now, unfortunately, due to time constraints, we are recording this before the 4:50 and the final grade one of the day, the 5:30. So instead, we're going to just scoot straight on to tomorrow's action and look at the three grade ones taking place on Thursday. We have the 1:30, the 2:50, and the 3:30. Of course, it's the Marsh Novices. It is the Ryanair Chase and the Stayers Hurdle. We'll start with the 1:30 contest. Mm-hmm. Itchy Feet, 7-2 favourite, 5-1 each for Forkeen and Mr. Fisher. Sam Crow, 11-2, 9-1 for Mellon. Reserve Tank is the first of the double figure priced runners at 12-1. In total, 12 of them going to post.
Yep.
Does the heart want Forkeen and does the head disagree?
The heart definitely does. I'm going to be there tomorrow. On Thursday, I should say. I really want him to win. From a betting point of view, I think he's short enough at 5-1, isn't he? I mean, obviously he's won all three of his chasing starts thus far. He made a bad mistake on the first of those, but he beat Sam Crow out of sight at Limerick over Christmas, and then he won that grade one at Leopardstown over the Christmas period as well. Obviously he's not the only grade one winner in the field. Itchy Feet, obviously, who was third in the Supreme Novices Hurdle last year, and I was impressed with how he went through his most recent race at Sandown, beating one of today's rivals, Midnight Shadow, by 3 1/4 lengths, staying on very strongly from the back of the last. He'd obviously won at Leicester on his chasing debut, albeit that wasn't really much of a race. But he's a grade one winner, so that form's in the book. The improving horse for me is going to be Mr. Fisher coming into this race. Okay. He obviously is 2 from 3 over fence. He actually got beat on his chasing debut by Torpillo. A four-year-old was getting weight from him at Warwick. He obviously ran at the festival last year and was fairly well beaten in the Supreme, finishing eighth. But stepping up in ship has been the making of this horse. He won here at during the Christmas period, beating Good Boy Bobby. They were well clear of Deekstown on that occasion. And then obviously he beat Al Dancer and Lisp last time out. Lisp, who many people think is going to run a big race in the Grand Annual on Friday. I don't remember if she's been entered actually, but I think that was the target for her. So respect Mr. Fisher. Mellon's got Cheltenham form. Obviously, he's been placed in a couple of champion hurdles. He did win at Leopardstown over Christmas, beating Gallant John Joe, but he was well beaten last time out behind Notebook and Cashback. He's stepping up in trip, which might well suit, but there's enough to put me off him.
Enough question marks.
Yeah, Reserve Tank, I think, is very much a spring horse, as he proved last year when winning at Aintree. Oh, he'd won at Kempton in a novice hurdle there, actually, around about this sort of time. Then went on to win the grade ones at a big price at Aintree, but he proved that was no fluke when following up at Punchestown. He's not been completely convincing over fences, but as I say, I think he is a spring horse, so we might see better from him. Whether he just needs another week or two to be seen to best effect, I'm not just sure. I'd love to see Forkeen win. Oh, we should mention Sam Crow as well, who's been well supported. He's had a wind operation since he was last seen, but I mean, he impressed on his chasing debut, but then he fell, and then he was well beaten by Forkeen, and he was very tired and weak through the line that day. I think it's between Itchy Feet and Mr. Fisher, if I'm honest, and I just favour Itchy Feet with that grade one form in the book.
Itchy Feet, 7-2 favourite in the betting, has been receiving a little bit of support, was 9-2, has been backed in. Just a quick word for our listeners. Mm-hmm. How difficult is it to avoid betting with the heart on someone like Forkeen and avoid betting and side with betting with what you truly think actually is going to happen?
It can be, particularly with these type of horses, obviously very popular, been around for quite some time, and obviously a multiple grade one winner. But you don't see too many you see 12-year-olds win at the festival, what Croco Bay did last year, but you don't see too many 12-year-olds winning grade one events. That has to be the concern.
Fair enough. That's the 1:30 at Cheltenham, the opener on Thursday's race. Itchy Feet, just the selection over Mr. Fisher for Gary. Right, we're going to move on to the 2:50 at Cheltenham. We have 8 going to post for this particular race. It is the Ryanair Chase. It's a grade one, 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. Aplutar, 15-8 favourite. Min, 11-4, 5-1 for Frodon. Riders on the Storm, 15-2. It's then a big jump in the betting, 16-1 for St. Calvados and 18-1 and bigger. Is it really a case of one from four, or can you narrow the field down even further? Because there's some high-class names there.
I'm going to narrow it down to two. Unfortunately, they are the first two in the market. We've got eight, so we've got a nice each-way shape. Duke de Nivre, those at bigger prices. I mean, he's a former Cheltenham Festival winner, but he's not done a lot this year. Aso's been placed in the race twice before, and Shatter Lover's got good course form too, but I think this is the front two in the market here are very, very good. St. Calvados will like the ground, but again, whether he's classy enough. Riders on the Storm did win at Ascot, but we've seen lots of horses run at that meeting badly, perform badly here at Cheltenham. That race, well, and that was a hard race as well that he won. I think that race will have left its mark.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to be with him to a certain point, but I can't have him. I think this is a better renewal than the race that Frodon won last year, for all that he has to be respected. Obviously, he had stomach ulcers. They found that out after he was third at Haydock, where he was very well beaten behind Lost in Translation and Bristol Domai. They treated them. He did bounce back when he won last time out at Kempton, winning the Silvia Arco Conti chase, where he found plenty for pressure. But as I say, you'd love to see him win again, because it was a great story last year, but I think this is a better renewal. Min, I mean, I think, obviously, he was fifth in the champion chase last year, and then that performance at Aintree, he just blew Politolog away to win the Melling chase, where they raced him, where they rode him fairly aggressively. Then he was second at Punchdown. He was turned over by Underso, but he wasn't ridden in exactly the same way. He won at Punchestown on his seasonal return, beating hardline in the John Durkin. And then at Leopardstown last time out, he and Chacun Poursois had a bit of a battle. If they ride him aggressively, and I think they will, I think he's quite interesting. But, and especially on this track here at on the new course, we're obviously going to be, it does favour front runners on the chase course more so, definitely more so than the hurdles course. So I can see him running well, but I really do like Aplu Tard. He's only a 6 year old. I don't think a 6 year old has ever won this race before, but it's still a relatively new race. I think Aplu Tard means see you later in French, and that's exactly what this horse did when winning here at the festival last year, winning by 16 lengths. He was one of the few horses that sort of quickened on the ground that day. I was just so, so impressed with him. He didn't back that up, admittedly, when he went into Grade 1 company at Punchdown after that, but that was over 3 miles, and he got beat by Delta Work and Discorama. This season, he was second behind a race fit Ballyasheen at Navan, and he looked as though he needed the run, and like a lot of Henry the Bromard's horses, they did improve for the run. But he was very, very impressive when winning that Grade 1 at Leopardstown over Christmas, beating Chacun Poursois. That was over a slightly shorter distance. They've obviously ummed and ahed which race they could have gone on. Having seen what's happened to the champion chase today, I think they're probably kicking themselves that they didn't run him in that race. But he comes here fresh. As I say, for me, it was one of the performances of the festival last year, and I think he will win at the festivals for the second time. So Aplu Tard for me in the Ryanair.
Aplu Tard looking to make it back-to-back Cheltenham Festival victories. Rachel Blackmore booked on board for Henry de Bromhead's Charge. 15-8, currently the favourite in the betting with us here at William Hill. One more race that we are going to chat about from tomorrow is, of course, the 3:30. It is the Stayers Hurdle, 3 miles ahead of them here, and Paisley Park is in the betting at 4-6. It's 9-1 and bigger the remainder. Somerville Boy is the only other single figure priced runner. Emmetom 10s, 12-1 for City Island. Penhill 12s. Apple's Jade at 20-1. 22-1 for Bacardi's. Ronald Pump 22s and 25-1 and bigger the remainder. Lammy Surge heading that particular group all the way down to a 125-1 shot. Ask Dylan. 4-6. We've seen 4-6 turned over today.
We've seen shorter than that turned over today.
Is anything in this field going to get close to Paisley Park, going to be able to overturn Paisley Park?
I think you're going to have to look at this race from an each way point of view. Tactically, this is going to be an interesting race because, again, a little bit like with Defi de Soy earlier on, all the other jockeys are going to be thinking, how can we get Paisley Park beat? What do we do? Do we go nice and slowly? How do we play more to our strengths, turn it into a speed test, which wouldn't suit Paisley Park, I don't think. But, or do we let, do we, you know, just let Paisley try and take it on when he wants to. I don't know. From a tactical point of view, I think this was quite a fascinating race. I mean, Paisley Park, obviously, he's won both his starts this campaign at Newbury. He won the long walk there. And then he was very impressive for me in the Cleeve, considering, again, I don't think the race has run to suit beating Somerville Boy clear from most of the remainder. Somerville Boy, obviously, we know that he handles this particular course. He's obviously a supreme novice hurdle winner a couple of years ago. And they went chasing with him this year, but brought him back to hurdles on New Year's Day after he'd fallen on his previous start in the Henry VIII, I think it was. He won the Rail Keel hurdle here on New Year's Day, and then he was second here in the Cleeve hurdle last time out. Whether he quite sees the 3 miles out, I'm not just sure, so I'm happy to pass him over. Emmitom's jumping has to be a concern. He was obviously second at the Grand National meeting last year behind Champ, who made him pull out all the stops. Very disappointing in the Rail Keel hurdle, where he didn't jump well enough. He bounced back last time out in the Rendlesham beating Donner's Diamond, but he stayed on strongly that day. But I mean, Donner's Diamond is rated 145. So, strictly speaking, he's got lots to find still, but he is improving. He's got that plus on for him. City Island, again, they went chasing with him. It didn't work out. Obviously, he won the Ballymore last year and finished second on his most recent outing at Punchestown. That was over fences. They've kept him fresh with this race in mind. Can see him running okay. Though I think two from an each-way point of view, I'll put okay. up. Yeah, one cool. is a previous winner. That's Penn Hill.
Yep.
He won the race back in 2018 it was. In 2017 he'd actually won the Albert Bartlett, so he's a dual festival winner, formerly a decent horse on the flat. They didn't have an ideal sort of preparation with this horse. They didn't get back it and didn't get him back to the track last year to have another crack at this particular contest. His season has been geared with this race in mind. He was third in the Hatton's down the field in the Hatton's Grace, which wouldn't have been far enough for him. That was better the last couple of runs. Second in the Galmoy Hurdle, okay, well beaten eventually. And then second again at Navan behind Cracking Smart, who actually was placed earlier on, or just out of the places earlier on in one of the big handicaps. But it's all been about getting this horse back here. So I'll put him up each way, or if you're looking in there without the favourite market. And the other one, who's coming from the handicapping sphere, is Ronald Pump, who did manage to win at Fairy House earlier on in the season. He too, that was over fences, he too has been chasing. But he finished second at Leopardstown over the Christmas period, not beaten that far behind Tracy Innes Corthy, who's been on a real roll of late, that particular horse. And he's finished second behind that horse. Was fourth last time out, but is a horse that's capable of running. You know, he's a stout stayer. He won a couple of times in the spring last year, including at the Fairy House Easter Festival. So from an each way point of view, Ronald Pump and Penn Hill make appeal. Fascinating race from a tactical point of view. I think Paisley Park, though, will be tough to beat.
Paisley Park, tough to beat. Each way nods for both Penn Hill and Ronald Pump. You've kindly given us three favourites there from the 130, 250 and 330 Cheltenham. It's not a bad little treble.
Not a bad little treble at all.
That's a great way to finish this particular podcast. You can, of course, join the team. Ross Briley is in the presenter's seat from 1 p.m. on Thursday, the 12th of March. Join us then for all the coverage of the greatest show on turf, the third day of the festival, coming your way here with us at William Hill Racing Radio. Thank you very much, Gary, for your company.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.